fighting for America.
It's going to be in Cleveland in 2016. The Republican National Committee has chosen Cleveland.
It's not the place you come to sleep. I tell you what, how comfortable is that? Probably won't have any neck problems tomorrow.
Fighting for Idaho.
I kept thinking that you just need to change your slogan at the beginning of your show. Instead of if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press, it should be if it's Sunday, it's another administration official making stuff up of Meet the Press.
Fighting for you.
People are sleeping while they drive. They're watching. They're on their cell phone.
You see,
forget it.
Right, but you see, you should have come out with this. Now we've got to go, and you're giving us the best stuff.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I'm sorry.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Thank you all for joining us. Here we are, striving, grinding it out, living the dream each and every weekday from 5 to 9, all the time at 580kido.com. We have the hot list. We'd love for you to check that out. Give us a click. That'll show our folks here and across America that our existence is justified. We're always working to create content, whether it's here, or online, or everywhere at 580kido with Kevin Miller. So check out the hot list, some good stories. And some remarks, actually, quite funny sound clips that we're throwing on there, and we're trying to expand that as we move on and on to give you a greater variety to take a look at things. So, what happens when your wife says you're a kook, but you're not a kook, or you could be a kook, and $2 billion at stake? Joining us now, Tanya J. Powers at Fox News Radio for the latest on Sterling versus Sterling. Tanya, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm trying to figure out how this matters to us in America, but I guess anybody who's in a relationship, anybody who's married, I guess our biggest fear was our wife or our husband would think we're a kook.
Well, in this case, it could cost dearly, depending on what the courts say. At issue is whether or not the $2 billion sale of the L.A. Clippers will go ahead or not. As you mentioned, the estranged wife of Donald Sterling, the team owner, she had two doctors examine him, and they declared him mentally incapacitated and therefore unable to act as the administrator of the Sterling Family Trust, and that's what owns the Clippers. He has gotten his own doctor, I believe from the Cleveland Clinic, to say that that's not correct and that he is, of sound mind. So there, that's part of the fight back and forth here.
Well, really, what's at stake, Tanya?
Well, whether or not the sale will go through. The NBA wants this done sooner than later. And as a matter of fact, Shelley Sterling, she says she believed, she had full control of the whole thing because the trust actually says if either of the Sterlings is incapacitated, the other one has full control of the trust. Well, believing that she had that, she reached that agreement back at the end of May to sell the Clippers for $2 billion. Donald Sterling even said about 6 days later he supported the sale. Then 10 days after the deal was struck, he said, no, wait, I'm going to revoke this. I don't want this to go through. And that's kind of the crux of the whole thing. If he was incapacitated, then that's, depending on what the judge decides, the sale might go through.
Right. So this really puts the entire sale in jeopardy. And remember, everybody wants Donald Sterling out. You've got the guy that used to run Microsoft after Bill Gates. You've got possibly all these sports guys going there. So this is a pretty big deal. Do you think it resonates past the sports world, Tanya?
I do, because you've got several things going on. Not only, as you mentioned, the thing going on with the spouses, there's also a lot of folks who are still back on the whole reason that he was banned for life from the NBA in the first place. And there's, people who talk about the free speech issue of it. There are even other owners in the NBA who've said that this is kind of a slippery slope because these remarks, as inflammatory as they were made in private. So there's a lot of other things going on here other than just, something that might affect the fans of the sports team.
I just wonder, how long do you expect this trial to go? And, I guess we'll have some resolution if Donald Sterling continues on with this, then this gives him fodder for his bigger lawsuit with the NBA.
Well, he wants it handled in a federal court. And if that's done, this could delay things even further. Now, also complicating matters, you've got this potential deal with Shelley Sterling and, as you mentioned, the former Microsoft CEO for $2 billion. That is set to expire on the 15th of this month, which is not very far off. It's also the same day the NBA's Board of Governors is scheduled to vote on this sale. the league wants the new Clippers ownership in before the season starts, and they've even indicated that the Sterlings have to sell the team by September the 15th. So there's a lot of potential roadblocks here.
I wonder if we could have two owners of the Clippers. That's like the one recognized by the league and Donald Sterling saying, I'm not leaving.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because if you know, things get really, really, I guess, really ugly, then the NBA can seize the team, from what I understand, and put it up for auction.
Wow. Tanya J. Powers, we appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am.
Sure.
Joining us now, our great friend Jennifer Kuiper of Fox News Radio with the latest concerning cars. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you. And today we're talking about American-made cars.
Does that exist anymore?
Well, you know, Cars.com has come out with its most American-made vehicles list. And at the very top is the Ford F-150. Okay, a truck, you think muscle car? Sure, yeah, you know. But then what follows might surprise some. In second place, you have the Toyota Camry. Third is the Honda Odyssey, followed by the rest of them. Toyota has the Sienna, the Tundra, the Avalon. And then we don't see what we consider an American name, Chevy Corvette Stingray, coming in until toward the bottom of the list, followed by the Honda Ridgeline, the Crosstour, and then finally the Dodge SRT Viper. So we asked Cars.com's Patrick Olson about this. I said, you know, when you Ford F-150, sure, but when you think of American-made, you think Ford and, you know, GM and Chrysler. And he said, well, what they look at is the percentage of domestic parts in a car, and to make the list, a car or truck has to be at least 75% domestic. And he said that virtually every new Camry that's sold in the U.S. is built in the U.S., and Honda builds more cars now in the U.S. than it builds in Japan.
You know, there are a lot of people, Jennifer, that criticize me for driving a Camry. Could you repeat number two again, please?
Number two would be the Toyota Camry. That's
wow.
One of the most American-made cars. Yep.
Amazing.
Cars.com.
And
yep.
we take a look at that here at 580 KIDO. What does this really mean for the quote-unquote American car manufacturers? Of course, General Motors has its issues. They're expanding overseas. You've got people building plants in China. Chrysler being owned by
Fiat.
Yeah, Fiat. I was going to say Renault, but that was
forces with Fiat. Yeah,
that was someone else. And I mean, Ford, the American company, but they only have one in the top five.
Yeah, Ford is in the top. Yeah, exactly. In the top five, Ford. And then you look down at the end of the list, midway through, Chevy Corvette and the Stingray. And then at the end, Dodge SRT Viper. So what we're seeing, though, is that these are 10 American-made vehicles lists. Last year, there were 14. And in 2012, there were 20 American-made vehicles on the list, and 30 in 2011. So it looks like we have a growing globalization of the industry. And you hear that a lot, especially coming out of Chrysler now that they've joined with Fiat, how they want to work on this global platform. GM has mentioned it too, so has Ford. So, you know, they want to be able to make a car and be able to put it in more places, in more countries than they had been doing. They really want to expand. So we're hearing a lot more of that. But here, I mean, you hear about what the VW factory, I think it's in Tennessee, a huge one that they had built. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Honda and Toyota, they have factories here too.
Amazing what has happened when you think about just, 10, 20 years ago, it was, revolutionary that, Honda came to Ohio, or Honda went to Tennessee. And then you take
right.
a look at just the American South, you could call it mini Detroit. You've got Mercedes, BMW, Nissan, Honda, Toyota. They're all there.
Exactly, exactly. And it saves them on shipping costs since they make the vehicles here. And then for us, it means more jobs. I mean, the Cars.com people, they also look at the point of assembly. It has to be in the United States. And, of course, that's on top of what I mentioned before about it has to be at least 75% domestic. So you are seeing these foreign automakers who have built plants here, and in some cases pretty big plants, and they're doing their work here. So that's what basically we're looking at when we talk about American-made vehicles. And also a kind of an interesting – I put a fun story in Fox Wheels this week about a guy who just got his Corvette back, his 1979 Corvette, after having it stolen 33 years ago. and he is thrilled. GM actually helped him ship it back up. What happened was this guy, who's now, I think, 74 years old, had a 79 Corvette, and in 1981 it was stolen. He got a call earlier this month saying, hey, we found your Corvette outside of a police station in Mississippi, so why don't you come get it? He's like, wait a minute. That car was stolen over 30 years ago. So he used to work for GM, used to test cars. He said the 79 was his favorite. He's had three other ones since then. And I guess somehow they got in touch with GM, and GM said, we got to get that car back up here. And they had it shipped up, and now the 79 Corvette is back in Detroit, and the guy has a big old smile on his face.
Got to love that 79 Corvette. We appreciate it, Jennifer. Thank you.
Sure, anytime.
All right, take care. Our great friend Jennifer Kuiper joining us. All right, we go to Eagle City Councilman Mark Butler with us at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Boy, who would have ever thought, to quote Ray Amaya, all this ruckus about a roundabout. What's going on in Eagle?
Yeah, I don't know. We just keep going round and round with this thing, huh? No, we've been trying to figure out what to do as far as a recommendation goes to the Ada County Highway District with regard to the intersection, our main intersection downtown, Eagle Road and State. And as you probably know, this goes back a couple of years when ACHD commissioned a engineering group to do a study, and we've changed our mind a couple of times. You know, without getting into all the detail, the last recommendation we made to ACHD was on March 18th for a roundabout down there. And since that time, it's been about 4 months. I think you're going to have Naomi Preston on here pretty soon. She's really, you know, stepped up as a citizen and spearheaded a group and gathered lots and lots of data that's come into us that shows that, you know, in my opinion, I think I made the wrong decision. But, you know, one thing that really relates to a lot of what you talk about and big government and so forth is government needs to listen. And for 4 months, all this data has been coming into us, emails, and I've been sending everything over to ACHD. I asked the mayor to have the Ada County Highway District come to our town hall meeting, and the response I got back from the mayor was the director said he's not sending anybody over. If anybody comes over, it's on their own, and the decision's been made. And we, as small government especially, need to listen and hear what people say and be responsive, and I think that's what we're trying to do in Eagle. And plus, to tell you the truth,
oh boy,
you know, just real quick, my wife's from Columbia, and people drive over there like crazy. There's motorcycles, bicycles, there's roundabouts everywhere. You don't see any accidents because everybody's really intent because you have to pay attention.
Yeah.
And people are sleeping while they drive. I mean, you sit there and watch them. They're on their cell phones. And
you see, this is
sleeping.
This is how you. This is how
where you got see, kids. Forget it.
Right, but you see, you should have come out with this. Now we've got to go, and you're giving us the best stuff.
I'm sorry.
It's
another
okay.
Day.
Thank
you. I gotta go too. I gotta work, you know.
I'm with you, Mr. Butler. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Have a good day.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. In-depth team coverage continues on the Eagle Roundabout. Naomi Preston joining us now at 580KIDO. Naomi, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So tell us why this is so important, not just to Eagle, but to people that don't live in Eagle.
Well, in general, roundabouts are not as safe as traditional intersections for pedestrians and cyclists. And so, you know, roundabouts are great out in the country where they can move traffic, but in a pedestrian and bicycle-friendly town like Eagle, it would make it very difficult to cross the street at rush hours. There are studies from the United States as well as all around the world that show that bicyclist safety, bicycle accidents and injuries go up significantly in roundabouts compared to traditional intersections. And handicapped persons have a terrible time crossing roundabouts. And Eagle has tried to be pedestrian friendly and cyclist friendly, and it would really destroy our downtown.
Right, and for people that are not familiar with where this proposed roundabout is, could you let people know?
Sure. It's right in the downtown core at our main intersection of Old State Street and Eagle Road.
To make that roundabout, we were talking with City Councilman Butler, it's going to chew up a lot of real estate.
Oh, a ton of real estate. The size of the double-lane roundabout is about the size of the infield at Hawk Stadium. People have no clue how big it's going to be. The mayor has said many times there are only about 20 people in Eagle that are against the roundabout, and I think we've shown him that that's not the case.
Would you like him to listen to you? He does listen to this program. What would you say to him directly?
Well, I would like him to listen to us, and I truly believe so far he really hasn't been listening. And, you know, I know he's a good man, and I just think he needs to look at the data that's out there, look at the studies we've provided, and consider all the sides of this issue.
Naomi, thank you for your activism, and we'd love to have you back.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Naomi Preston joining us, talking about the impact of this roundabout in Eagle on small businesses, big businesses, pedestrians, and bikes.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined now by Jonathan Nichols. He's the marketing and admissions manager for the MBA program at the University of Utah. Jonathan, let's talk a little bit about education. We hear so much about education. Lou Dobbs calls it the great liberator of our times. How important is it today to get an MBA?
You know, an MBA is becoming more and more valuable in the marketplace. Certainly we know the number of individuals getting graduate degrees is increasing. However, when you look specifically at those who receive something like an MBA degree, it really sets them apart in their careers. Knowing the fundamentals of business, accounting, finance really helps set you up to move your career forward or potentially make that career change that you're looking for as well.
Well, you know, we talk about the University of Utah. Let's talk a little bit about Idaho and talk about your outreach here.
Yeah, so in the past, we've received a lot of interest in our MBA programs, particularly from Idaho residents, and unfortunately, we didn't have an offering that was available, particularly to those who are working full-time and looking to go back and earn their MBA degree. Recently, we were excited to announce that we're launching an MBA online program, as well as taking one of our existing programs, our executive MBA program, and moving it to an every other weekend format. With those changes, it makes it possible for those working and living in Idaho to pursue a University of Utah MBA degree.
How valuable is that?
It's huge. Our part-time MBA programs here at the University of Utah have been recognized nationally. We have a part-time program ranked in the top 40, an executive program ranked in the top 30. So when you're thinking about going back to school and getting your MBA degree, what's important is that you look at the quality of the faculty, the quality of peers you're surrounded by, because ultimately when you walk away, it's more than just a degree. It's the education. It's the network you're walking away with.
Right, and how valuable is that being a Ute?
You know, we've got an extensive network, particularly in the Idaho area. We've got you know, former executives of Fortune 500 companies that have attended here. And so becoming part of the University of Utah network and alums connects you with those individuals. You're looking at a powerful peer group, not only creating new opportunities for you, but also to associate with those who are experienced in the business world to give you ideas, insight, best practices, things that are going to have an immediate impact on your performance at work.
Now, can you give us a little in-depth about the difference between the programs, the online and the executive program? The executive program, could we start with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll start by saying regardless of what program you enter into, you're going to walk away with an MBA degree, Master's of Business Administration from the University of Utah. Our executive program is designed for our more seasoned individuals. So they typically average about 13 years of experience, deeper into their careers, more management level experience. And so if you're looking to surround yourself with that peer group, our executive program is a great fit. And the format of that is every other weekend. So while you're still coming down here to Salt Lake, your commitment is Friday and Saturday every other week.
And what type of individuals, again, Jonathan, we're talking seasoned, we're talking people that really want to take it to the next level to have that commitment.
Yeah, absolutely. And our executive program definitely aligns with that. Perhaps you're an executive or director level position. You own a small business. Certainly, you don't have to be an executive to enter into that program. But those who have that experience are a great fit for that because you're learning from our top caliber faculty members. You're surrounding yourself with other individuals, not only from the Utah-Idaho area, but certainly from the Rocky Mountain West that have those similar career goals to better themselves and better their career.
Let's talk a little bit about the online program. Everybody seems to be into that these days. You have, you know, certainly not the luxury, but you have the ability to hit it extra a lot of times if you want the extra work, if you want to look things over and over again. If you could talk about the online MBA program.
Yeah, I mean, online education is certainly growing, and I think we're to a point now where technology has allowed us to make it really effective. It's an exciting venture we've been able to embark on. The university has made a big investment here with our online program, and as you mentioned, online does create certain advantages. One is the true flexibility. This is a program that is going to allow you to really study on your time. We're going to pace you so you have weekly deliverables, but whether you want to wake up early in the morning before your kids are up or perhaps late at night, whatever works best for you is when you're going to be able to really dive into that curriculum. If there's a concept that's a little more difficult for you to understand, you're going to be able to go back and rewatch it to make sure you can really digest that material. With that said, we still want to create opportunities for you to really engage. Part of an MBA program is connecting with those peers in the classroom as well as your faculty. So we're going to do things like discussion boards and live sessions each week so you really have that opportunity to not only learn the material on your own, but learn from those who are surrounding you, which really enhances that experience.
If people are interested listening right now at 580KIDO, Jonathan, what can they do to learn more about the program, the MBA program at the University of Utah?
You know, we're always available to talk with anyone about their questions or concerns, whether it's how to finance an MBA degree, if an MBA is even right for them, or general questions about our program. Our admissions advisors are here to help you through the admissions process. You can go to our website, utahmba.com, to learn more. We're happy to set up a one-on-one call with you. We have monthly webinars that go on as well. Essentially, we can do anything to really help meet your needs and get you the information you need.
Jonathan, we appreciate that. And one more time about the value of education in our highly competitive world.
Yeah, I mean, when we look at the statistics of our graduating students, our students report a 20% increase in salary upon graduation. So that's not 2-3 years out. That's immediately after they graduate and really applying the skills that they learn. It's so important to pursue that higher education. You're really going to set yourself apart in the marketplace. And at the end of the day, you're going to be able to improve your performance. You're going to elevate the performance within your organization and really achieve those career goals that you're looking to obtain.
What about people that, you know, they're captains of their own business, their own industry, they're very confident, you know, the value of doing something uncomfortable for, you know, long-term success?
Yeah, and I think those who own their own business have experienced that success, but I think they'll readily admit that they don't have time to go into the depths of truly understanding a financial statement or the marketing side of things. And so what going into higher education or getting an MBA degree does is opens those doors for you that you may not have time on a day-to-day basis to invest in. You're obviously successful in what you're doing, and we want to make you better. And ultimately, we want you to be able to walk away from this program, walk away from the educational experience, and really elevate the success of your organization, as well as develop those skills that if you were to continue on, you may still be good at, but we're going to make you better at.
Jonathan, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate your time.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
And Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 men,
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Here we are, the Manly Man segment, and Dave Burnett with us once again. Dave, do we have anything for you? I hogged the spotlight yesterday, so I guess we'll alternate. I've got a couple other things, but...
Oh, you didn't warn me I had to hog the spotlight.
No, I do have a couple things right up your alley.
Well, one, the Eagle Roundabout's dead. Woo-hoo! Okay, I've calmed down now.
Well, yeah, it was a big issue.
It was, and being a resident of Eagle, I did not understand why they were bothering to put it in, going to the expense, taking away land from businesses. So happy to see that it's defeated. They decided not to do the roundabout.
Right, right.
So I'm happy about that.
Glad Channel 7 caught up with us.
Did they catch up with us finally?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had good. That story yesterday, both sides.
Well, I know, but last night the city council put the knife in it.
Right. We predicted that yesterday. Mm-hmm. If they had been listening.
Well, I know, but it was officially done last night.
I know Channel 1 Plus 1 was listening because they did a big story previewing it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right. So happy about that. So Eagle City Council, they decided, made the right choice. in my humble opinion. I'm just saying. Donald Sterling saying he's not crazy, like his wife thinks. So that happened in court yesterday. Let's see, what else did we have out there? Governor John Evans passing away at his home. So interesting balance and dance back in those days where you would have a Democrat governor and often a Republican lieutenant governor. That continued, you know, Cecil Andrus, same thing going on. But John Evans, who loved and admired by many in this state, considered, you know, I guess really when you're talking about Idaho Democrats, you're talking about, you know, conservative Democrats for the most part. But John Evans loved, and his body will lie in state Friday at the state capitol. There, I've hogged the spotlight.
All right, very compelling. Let's
thank
talk
you. Thank you for the slap in the face. I appreciate it this morning.
All right, very compelling stuff. Let's move on to what people are talking about today.
That is insulting to me. Thank you.
You're a little overly sensitive.
A little bit when you say, hey, that's great, Kevin. Shut up. That's enough of you.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
Actually, I if you'd let me get to it, I have something that I think that you would respond to.
We'll find out now. I may be like a scorned bride on her wedding night.
I don't know really what's in your coffee this morning, but we continue on at 580KIDO. So we've got this big brouhaha concerning a member of the Cleveland Browns, Josh Gordon. And people are saying, well, Kevin, why does this really matter just based off the fact that Josh Gordon's an athlete, he's an addict. And I love the mamby-pamby, rooty-poo, overly sensitive sports media. Well, he needs help, and the team should help him. And here's a guy that has had drug problems, very talented out of Kent State, I believe, very well-respected in the league. But, you know, if something would happen to you or to me or anybody else, you'd be out on your fanny, and no one would be helping you. But the idea that we have to coddle these athletes is just amazing to me. And the idea that here you have this guy who got a DWI, is accused of that in Raleigh, North Carolina, and people are saying that he should be coddled. And I think that's the problem with most athletes these days. They're coddled, and they're not given the stick. It's too much of the carrot. And it's amazing to me that people are saying, well, the team needs to stand by him.
They should cut him. He should be cut. Cleveland Browns, they're a mess. They are an absolute mess. He should be cut. Chris Carter, Hall of Famer. Is he in the Hall of Fame or will be? He says the same thing. Should be cut.
Right, because he had his own drug problems and that worked for him.
Mm-hmm. But what do you want to do? Coddle him? No, cut him. You're done. Sorry, don't need that. I mean, you look at Cleveland, that's the least of their problems. Josh Gordon, who, by the way, I think there was only one other guy caught a touchdown pass for Cleveland last year on the roster. But he should be cut. Johnny Manziel, photographed again in Vegas. As soon as he's off in Cleveland, he's on a plane for Vegas, photographed again in a bathroom with a rolled-up bill. I don't know what he was doing with that rolled-up bill. I could only assume.
Well, what do people do with rolled-up bills? You're a hip guy.
Yeah, there's only one thing I know of that they do with that.
What do they do?
And that would be for cocaine.
Don't they use a straw, or don't they use their nose?
No, they roll up a dollar bill and snuff it up their nose with a, well, not a dollar. That'd be my budget. With a $20 or $100 bill.
Seems pretty dirty, though.
Well, yeah. But then if you look at our money, most $100 bills, if you look at it, have cocaine on them, used bills.
Now, is that your time in the DEA working in Central America?
Yeah, that's exactly it. When I was working for the NSA. But
you and Snowden.
Exactly.
You trained Snowden, didn't you?
Yes, that was my job. But Cleveland's a mess. If I was in that front office, I'd be calling that kid back and say, here's an idea. Here's a playbook. Why don't you start studying at Johnny Football? And we have some Brown fans here in this building that are just, oh, this is wonderful. It's like, you've got a mess. So there you go, you Cleveland Brown fans, the dog pound.
Right.
What do you think Josh Gordon should be? What should be done with him?
Well, I think this is an overall, you know, greater societal issue that, unfortunately, the sports media has just kind of infiltrated everything, and they do things exceptionally well. They're always on. They have three or four networks, and that's just one company, Disney. Never mind everybody else that's trying to catch up with them. So what they say becomes the societal norms. Well, you know, we should take care of them. We should do this. And I'm thinking to myself, and Dave Burnett, you've lived this life for many, many years. If something, if you're accused of something, you can be fired. Chances are that you will be fired. Never mind if you're innocent or not. That's just how it is. You don't have millions of dollars to fall back on, and neither do I. That's the life we chose. Now, I don't think that if I were blessed to be in the NFL that I would be smoking pot. I don't think that if I were blessed to be in the NFL, I would be drinking and driving. I'd be very blessed and thanking God for the skills that I had and working hard to see how long I could last in that league. And these guys that just kind of blow it all away, and it just amazes me that we should coddle them. And it's up to the organization. Hey, the organization, they've got a quarterback that's running wild. And by the way, you could write a management book on how stupid the ownership of the Cleveland Browns are on how they're mishandling this kid. He never should have gone to Cleveland. He should have stayed in the South, whether it was Houston eventually or Dallas. They like that kind of thing. And that the idea that the owner is telling Johnny to zip it, you remember, maybe even now, Dave Burnett, when someone tells you not to do something, what are you most likely to do?
I'm not going
to
do it.
You're going to rebel.
No.
Especially at a you know, if you're young and you just sold them 10,000 season tickets.
Yeah, at that point, you think you're full of yourself and you got it under control.
And Brian Hoyer, he's a nice young man, but he didn't sell any tickets. It's just crazy, and that's what happens when you have a guy from Pittsburgh owning the Browns. But this is not a sports program. Speaking of Cleveland, and we first reported this yesterday on Twitter, at 580KIDO. We'd love to have some more followers there. Cleveland, Ohio, beat out Dallas, Texas. And I have to say, being from that area, I was very surprised that Cleveland is the home of the RNC 2016 presidential convention.
Wasn't, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe it was Pittsburgh, but wasn't Cleveland the city in the last election that there were some precincts in Cleveland that they received zero votes for the Republican presidential nominee?
Philly.
Was that Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Okay. My error there.
And it was 110% for Obama. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Good math there.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking it was Cleveland. I could be wrong, but yeah. But yeah. Kind of a surprise there. I know our political correspondent here for the radio station running around woohooing, that and Johnny Manziel going woohoo for that. So I know he's excited about it, but I don't know. What do you think? I have never been to Cleveland, so I can't tell you what, you know.
I kind of have a bias about that area. I think having lived in Pittsburgh and being from Akron, and everybody says LeBron's home, James' hometown is Cleveland. No, it's Akron. It's like living in Boise. Or no, living in Nampa, they say your hometown's Boise. It's mm-hmm. It's not the same. It's 45 miles away, and Cleveland is Cleveland. But, you know, having been there, and I did a show from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's come a long way. I question why you would do it. Cuyahoga County is the only county in Ohio where it's like 100% Democrats. It's the old union thing. So why go into enemy territory? It's beyond me.
Could it be that Republicans see Ohio is going to be very, very important in the upcoming election, that somehow they'll garner favor from Ohio residents by having the convention there?
Yeah, then you do it in Columbus or Cincinnati where the Republicans are. And that's a good point, but I'm telling you, the unions, they're going to do everything they can to disrupt that thing because that's what you do. Why not do it in Texas? And I understand it's going to be hot in Dallas, but you have all the facilities. You have everything that you need, but I think Reince Priebus, he's from Wisconsin, so he had a Midwest bias. Now, I have something else for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick who was more important to their franchise, Dwayne Wade or, it's funny, not Archie, not Eli, but Peyton Manning when he was with the Colts. Who was more important to their franchise?
Dwayne Wade in basketball or Peyton Manning?
Yes, for the Colts.
So you're asking me to compare basketball and football?
Yeah, not really. I mean, you're comparing who was more important, who was indispensable to their franchise.
Gosh, I'm going to have to go. That's tough. There's so many things. There's the on the field slash court, and there's the off the field.
But that plays into it,
court.
Too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely it does. I'm going to have to say Peyton Manning, perhaps.
Okay, so.
But that would be my football bias, maybe.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with football bias. It's very welcome here. at 580 KIDO. So what gets me is, you know, Dwayne Wade is done. If the Colts can say goodbye to Peyton, mm-hmm. why can't the Heat say goodbye to Wade? They could keep Bosch, they could keep James, and they could probably bring in Carmelo. Yeah, it would be cold, but if you can cut Peyton Manning with his bad neck and all, certainly the Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade has not contributed near as enough. Yes, he brought in LeBron. Woo-ha. He cost him the championship this year. So I'm leading the witness. If you can cut Peyton Manning, why can't you cut Dwayne Wade?
Well,
why is it different?
Again, the management of the Heat, much like the management of the Browns, just a mess.
Yeah.
They're just a mess. I mean, they won, you know, a couple of championships, and now they don't know what to do or how to keep their people happy. They will lose LeBron. LeBron will be going back to Ohio.
What? So we're going to have Johnny. We're going to have LeBron. We're going to have the political correspondent.
Justin.
And the Republicans in Cleveland.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. He goes, Kevin, it's the dream team. We'll be back. I go, I don't know if either one of us are going to be here in 2016, Justin. You're a lot more confident than I am.
I plan on being here.
Well, you know, no. And you know how this is. You could plan, but you might not be in the plans. I mean, and that's happened to you. That's happened to me. I'm planning on being here. Yes, I'm sorry, but we're planning on going a different direction. I can go in a different direction. Yes, we're going in a different direction without you. Come on now. That is funny.
Okay.
Funny and true.
Yeah, well, I suppose.
I mean, come on.
Hey, at least I don't work for the Cleveland Browns.
Not yet.
Yeah. We'll see what happens as it transpires, but busy day ahead, Kevin.
If you can cut Peyton Manning, you can cut Dwayne Wade.
Well, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But they've got to figure out what they're doing. But that's not mine, and it's the NBA, so I don't care about the NBA. Is the championship's over yet? Traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County and 8.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
All right, big week in Washington. Coming up, Senator Risch will join us. If you missed our interview with Chris Farrell, we'll have that from Judicial Watch. They do such great work. Big hearings going on this week thanks to their work. We'll get back into the gun debate coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. And big ups to everyone in Eagle and the surrounding areas for letting your voice be heard, which is our mission here, to give you that platform. No roundabouts. No roundabouts in Eagle, at least. I hope you're having a great day. We'll work hard to make it better.
Serving Meridian.